Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Javier Carreras, who is a professor of political science at Amherst College. He serves on the editorial board of Latin American Politics and Society and America's Quarterly. Previously, he was a visiting scholar at the Center for Latin American Studies at Harvard and a visiting fellow at the Center for Latin American Research at the University of Amsterdam. He is the co-author of Dragon in the Tropics, Hugo Chavez and the Political Economy of Revolution in Venezuela, and author of Presidents Without Parties, The Politics of Economic Reform in Argentina and Venezuela in the 1990s. Welcome to Background Briefing, Javier Carreras.
Thank you very much.
And the President Hugo Chavez, just the other night, after a Miami newspaper had suggested that he had had kidney failure and had to go into an emergency military hospital, 48 hours later, wearing a bright red tracksuit and clutching a baseball, he invited a local journalist to visit him at 11 a.m. in the morning at the Miraflores Presidential Palace in Caracas, where he said, I'm fine, those who don't love me and wish me ill, well, bad luck. So here we have a 57-year-old Chavez having been treated for cancer, saying that all is well. Do you think that will dampen the rumor mill?
It did serve to stop that particular rumor, but it will not do away with all the speculation that continues to exist surrounding the situation, his health condition. And the reason is that the government in general offers so little information about the status of President Cancer's health condition that in many ways the government is inviting all this speculation. What Chavez is going to want to do is to put an end to any discussion that he's not getting well. The talk has been, I have cancer, yes, this is in many ways all that Chavez likes to talk or tweet about, but that in general, things are looking great. A message of optimism and of, in some ways, rebirth. And that is what he wants to convey to Venezuelans and the world.
But this has been going on since early July, when Chavez admitted that he had cancer and that the doctors had found what he described as a strange formation in the pelvic region. And he went on to say, I have neglected my health and I was reluctant to have medical checkups. It was a fundamental mistake for a revolutionary.
That's correct. After trying to hide the situation, he had a prolonged stay in Cuba and there was no explanation given. He finally came out and revealed that much. Essentially, a baseball size tumor, malignant tumor, was removed from his pelvic area, but nothing more has been revealed since then about what kind of cancer it was and what else is going on. We do know that, or he says that he has received 4 treatments, chemotherapy treatments since then, and that's pretty much it. That's all we know.
Again, I'm speaking with Javier Carreras, the professor of political science at Amherst College and author, co-author of Dragon in the Tropics, Hugo Chavez and the Political Economy of Revolution in Venezuela. Now, it was just announced that the presidential elections would be held on October the 7th next year. That's just about a month before U.S. Presidential elections. And President Hugo Chavez said he expected to govern for at least 2 more 6-year terms until 2025. For any politician, that's fairly optimistic scenario. If he didn't have this health problem, what would his prognosis be?
If he didn't have his health problem, I think the prognosis would be that he would stand a good chance of winning, but not a guaranteed chance. There's currently a tie in Venezuela. All polls suggest that President Chavez, for quite a while now, has a 50% approval rating. It goes up and down a little bit. That's a different question from whom do you intend to vote? If the question is whom do you intend to vote, he probably might have 30%. But that's pretty good because there is the one group of voters who's undecided. So he continues to be competitive, certainly not as competitive as he once was, certainly in 2006, which was the peak of his popularity. It all, of course, hinges on his health and if the opposition manages to stay united. If the opposition fragments into two candidates, that's it. But if the opposition produces a single candidate and all other candidates rally behind that particular candidate, then this is going to be an election in which Hugo Chavez could easily get nervous about.
And Venezuela is a really polarized country politically.
Yes.
I mean, it's poisonously polarized. It also has a high and growing crime rate. So there's a lot of insecurity. What is the possibility here of this problem? And apparently, my understanding is it's prostate cancer that spread into the pelvis. That he has this macho image, and he doesn't hold back in some of his television, and his 6-7 hour long appearances on television and radio in Venezuela, about his manhood, etc.
Right.
How's that going to play now that he's had chemotherapy and shaved head, and that there's that questions about his health? It's obviously not helping.
Well, him being ill affects him in two ways. First, I think there will be many folks in the electorate who might not be inclined to vote for a president who appears frail. Just in general, it doesn't seem that the sympathy vote is going to be large enough to compensate for those who feel that this is not a worthwhile gamble. The other way in which his illness might affect him is that you're absolutely right. He has always presented the image of an incredibly vigorous, highly energetic, on 24 hours a day, running a campaign all the time. And for just pure health reasons, he cannot sustain that rhythm, that pace. And consequently, you're going to see a lot less of Chavez during the campaign. And this is going to cost him. His voters are used to the cheerleading effect of Chavez, and that is just not going to happen, at least for a while. And this is going to affect his electoral prospects. But then again, I don't want to create the image that he faces the possibility of an easy defeat. Even if ill, he can still manage an electoral victory.
Well, during the Clinton era, Jim Carville coined the phrase, "It's the economy, stupid," and most analysts think that President Obama, whose election will be about a month later than the one that Chavez will be facing in Venezuela.
Yes.
The prognosis for him is pretty grim. Nobody's been re-elected since Roosevelt with over 9% unemployment, and it's likely to get worse. Venezuela's economy's even worse. Inflation's is outrageous. And but for a line of credit from the Chinese, Chavez would be in terrible trouble.
Correct. There's no question that bad economic conditions are terrible for any incumbent, and Venezuela is no exception there. However, what does happen is that in incredibly polarized environments, the voters for the ruling party can become very forgiving, simply because they hate the other side so much. This is in some ways the definition of a polarized environment, that you will just stick to your group because you detest the other camp viscerally.
Now, is the likely candidate of the other camp, meaning, you know, the Bolivarian circles hate the oligarchs or the remnants of the oligarchs, and they continually refer to Miami as being where the strings are pulled. What kind of a candidate do they have? Do they have somebody that represents the old discredited ruling elite, or do they have somebody that's more presentable?
Not at all. I don't think that any of the candidates at the moment fit the image that any reasonable person would have of a Latin American oligarch. There are about five or six viable candidates at the moment. Most of them are very young. Most of them have formed their political careers under the Chavez period. They come from completely new parties. They have experience in office. And they are not connected to the previous era whatsoever. And so they are new faces for the most part. There is one who has a bit of a connection to the previous era, not necessarily to the economic oligarchy, but he's not doing that well. The two leading contenders at the moment at the opposition, in my opinion, don't fit the bill of an oligarch. The opposition as a whole has been able to, in the most recent election, the 2010 election for midterm elections for parliament, the opposition obtained more votes than the ruling party. And so to label the majority of the country as oligarchic seems to be a strange designation, because almost by definition you cannot have more than majority of a country be oligarchic. But that is the tactic that they use. And the point is that they do see the opposition as completely unacceptable, that an alternation of power to the opposition, they see it as a return to a world that they never want to see again. And this is not exactly the fabric for a democratic system, when you see the opposition as completely unacceptable. So we'll see what happens. There is the question of will Chavez win or lose, and if he wins, what will his next government be? But then there is the more important question of, in the event that he loses, will they step down? Will the government step down? And that is it's going to be a critical question for those of us who study Venezuelan politics.
Well, just in closing then, Javier Corrales, the Chinese, when they gave Hugo Chavez this line of credit that's largely keeping the country solvent, they made sure that the Congress signed off on it. So that that they're going to get their money paid back. So it would seem that the Chinese are sort of looking to the future and not entirely convinced that he's going to last.
The Chinese have become the most important financiers of Venezuela. They have provided $8 billion in investments plus a $20 billion line of credit. And the Chinese have become kind of nervous. They have become kind of nervous that that Venezuela is not going to be able to pay back, that these investments are not going to produce any significant returns. And this is one of the reasons that people are saying Venezuela recently made the decision to transfer almost $11 billion worth of gold in reserves that Venezuela held abroad, transfer them to Venezuela, as well as liquid reserves, which were transferred from the United States and Europe and were deposited in the hands of the Chinese and Russia and Brazil. In other words, it seems that the Chinese are now exerting quite a bit of pressure on the Venezuelan regime to deliver on some of its economic and financial commitments to the Chinese.
Well, I thank you. I'm afraid we've run out of time. I'm sorry to say, okay. Javier. But thank you so much for joining us, Javier Corrales.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Again, Javier Corrales is a professor of political science at Amherst College and the author of Dragon in the Tropics, Hugo Chavez and the Political Economy of Revolution in Venezuela. I would like to thank, this has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I would like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon and assistant producers Natalie Mosisian and Michael Lozano. And this program is available at ianmasters.com, where you can sign up for podcasts and contact me. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another background briefing. Bye for now.
The headline written down.